Kijaya. ISKCON, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Anantakoti, Vaishnava, Vrinda Kijaya, Namachar, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijaya. Friends, say, Prabhu Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shivaita Garadha, Shivasati Gaur, Bhakti, Mikijaya. Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopika Pitasayam, Kun Radhakunda, Giri, Govardhan Kijaya, Vrinda, Jai Maturam Kijai Navadipadam Kijai Jagadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimadaglasa Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Go Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Okay, we'll read the translation to this Vaishnava prayer by Dr. Tamadas Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya Gan? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of two great Vaishnavas, Gauridas Pandit and Srila Rupa Goswami. So we'll speak a few words about Gauridas Pandit first, and mainly we're going to speak about Rupa Goswami. So Om Aganat Madandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Gauridas Pandit was an incarnation of the coward boy Subal. Very, very interesting. And Gauridas Pandit is renowned for having a very famous... I could hear. So then you have to turn it up. I am speaking into the microphone without swallowing it. So someone who knows how to turn it up should turn it up. Turn up the volume. I mean, I definitely don't want to eat a microphone for breakfast. It's not vegetarian. Oh. Anyway, so Gauridas Pandit is renowned for being the coward boy Subal, and he has a very famous disciple, Hridayi Chaitanya, who was previously known as Hridayananda. And he has a very famous disciple, known as Duki Krishnas, who later became known as Shyamananda. So, just a few details about this. Gauridas Pandit was so much absorbed in love for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to visit him, he wouldn't let them leave. He just said, you have to stay here. And they said, well, obviously we can't stay here, so instead we're going to let you make deities of us that are exactly the same. So these deities in a place called Ambikakal, these deities are still there today. And so these deities of Shri Shri Gauranath, it's hard when you're popping in and out to give class. So these deities of Shri Shri Gauranath were the ones that ran away with Gauridas's disciple, Hridayananda, who later became known as Hridaya Chaitanya. And Gauridas Pandit was so angry that they had run away that he took a stick, and the deities got so upset that they jumped into the heart of Hridayananda, the disciple of Gauridas Pandit, and therefore Vidananda's name was changed to Vidai Chaitanya. So these are some stories about Gauridas Pandit. His deities are still there today, these deities which are constructed exactly as replicas of Sri Sri Gauranatai. So mainly we're going to speak about Srila Rupa Goswami today. So, of course, Rupa Goswami is extremely prominent in our branch of the Sampradaya. In fact, we are known as Rupanugas. And Srila Rupa Goswami was the one who was, let's say, ascertained to know or understand more about the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu perhaps than any other Vaishnava. Therefore, there's this interesting verse written about Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam. Stavitam yena bhutale swayam rupa gadamayam padati swa padantikam. That Srila Rupa Goswami, giving not a literal translation of this verse, but actually a purported translation of the verse, Srila Rupa Goswami understands Mano Vishtam, Chaitanya Mano Vishtam. That means the desire in the mind of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's come, stabitam yena bhutale, he's come to establish that in the world. Anyway, so that's the meaning of this particular prayer to Srila Rupa Goswami. Very, very important prayer. So Rupa Goswami composed what is considered to be, by the migration of Prabhupada, our law book in Krishna consciousness, which is known as the Nectar of Devotion, formerly known as the Bhakti Rasam Arata Sindhu, or the Nectar of the Ocean of Devotional Service. And the Bhakti Rasam Arata Sindhu is the undergraduate study, and when one makes a lot of advancement, in other words, you're at least on the platform of Nishtha, then one is ready to read the Ujjala Nilamani, which is actually an advanced study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The platform of Nishtha means that one is steady in their sadhana. What does it mean to be and steady the rest of the day? What does it mean to be steady in the sadhana? It means like the lines on the stone that's described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. I'm trying to speak as close to the mic as possible. It means that your sadhana is like the lines on the stone. In other words, it can't be erased. For some of us, the sadhana, our sadhana may be like a roller coaster. You understand roller coaster? And sometimes we're on the way up and sometimes we're on the way down. But the six Goswamis, their sadhana was like lines on a stone. I mean, so determined. Take the case of Haridas Thakur, for example, who had vowed to chant 192 rounds every day, the three lakhs of names. And when he was unable to do that, he refused to eat, and he got ready to leave the planet. That's how determined he was. So we can learn from that. So anyway, let's go talk about Srila Rupa Goswami. I've made some notes here. His family is actually originally from South India. They were actually Brahmin by caste, South India Brahmin caste. But of course, they were born in Bengal. Now, they were very, very educated. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Anupama, Sri Vallabha, their brother. They were very educated in Persian, Urdu, Sanskrit, I mean, so many different languages, and that's why they were able to peruse, as described by Srinivasacharya, Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipadosa Dharma Samstapako. Loganam Vita Karno Tribhuvane Manyo Shalandikaro Vande Rupa Sanatana Shijiva Go Gopala Go. So that's why they were able to peruse all the Vedic literatures and other literatures in the world. Nana Shastra. That means all the literatures, thousands of literatures. for the aim of establishing Dharma Samsthapako, eternal religious principles. Very, very important prayer by Srinivas Acharya. So, anyway, very, very educated. But what happened is that they took employment, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and probably his brother, Sri Vallabha, took employment under the direction of the Nawab in St. John. And in those days, I mean, the Brahminical system was so strict and strong that if one took employment from the Muslims, then they were considered to have lost their caste, become outcasts. Or even if you got water sprinkled on you by a Muslim, then you become an outcast. I mean, there was one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, his name was Subhuti Roy, and he had water sprinkled on him from the water pot of a Muslim. And this Muslim was previously his servant, but he grew up the Muslim, and he became like prominent in the government. And to get even with having been hit by Subhuti Roy when he was young, his wife told him to turn him into a Muslim, turn Subhuti Roy into a Muslim. Subhuti Roy went to the other Brahmins and said, "What can I do to relieve myself from becoming a Muslim?" So they told him, "Drink hot metal, you know, molten lead or something like that." And then he went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "No, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy." So that's our philosophy. So anyway, so they worked for the Muslims. The reason they worked for the Muslims is because the Muslims threatened the villagers and other devotees that we're going to kill them unless you work for us. Okay? We'll work for you. Hare Krishna. So they agreed to work for the Muslims, and they actually became extremely rich. It's described that Rupa Goswami, when he actually left his employment, he had boatloads of gold coins. And so Rupa Goswami took even a Persian title of Dabir Kash, which means private secretary. And they actually lived in a place called Rama Kelly. And in this Rama Kelly, that's Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and their brother, they constructed a replica of Vrindavan called Gupta Vrindavan at their home. And in that replica, there were bathing places and Govardhan Hill and all sorts of interesting things like that. So they began to study, too, more Sanskrit under the guise of Vidya Vachaspati, who was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So they really had some good teachers. So one time, while they were in Ramakeli, they had heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they really wanted to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the year 1514, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through Ramakeli, actually on his way to Vrindavan. He never made Vrindavan at that particular point, along with Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. And at this particular time, Rupa, Sanatana, and Anupama were able to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take initiation. And when they first met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they put a straw between their teeth, and that's a sign in the Vedic culture that one is humble, and they bowed down to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they said, these are some of the quotes here. We belong to the lowest class of men. We and our associates and employment are the lowest type. Therefore, we feel it strange to introduce ourselves to you. Such humility. We are ashamed, even though they're so educated, come from such a high-class family. Just imagine their humility. You know, of course, hopefully we would find a replica of that humility with the devotees nowadays. We are ashamed, for you are so pure. Dear Lord, let us assure you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Since you have specifically incarnated to deliver the fallen souls, please consider that there is none so fallen as the two of us, for we are worse than Jagai and Madha Yushu. And remember, you know, the exalted position. I mean, Rupa Goswami is the appearance of Rupa Manjari. I mean, Rupa Manjari is like Radharani, one of Radharani's most intimate servitors in the spiritual world. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, your humility is breaking my heart. And from this day on, your name or your names will be Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. And Anupama, of course, was the brother who was originally Sri Vallabha. And Lord Chaitanya said, actually, I had no business coming here to Ramakeli, but I came only to meet you. Now, it's very, very interesting that Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan at that point. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami advised him not to go to Vrindavan. Now, why did they advise Lord Chaitanya not to go to Vrindavan? Because Lord Chaitanya was accompanied by a retinue. Now, that's a big word for those of you who don't speak English. Retinue means a large amount of people, hundreds or not thousands of people. And they said, basically, it's like going to Vrindavan with a circus. This is not appropriate. Vrindavan is a very sacred place. So one should just go in a very peaceful way to Vrindavan. Of course, nowadays, as far as the city of Vrindavan, it's impossible to be very peaceful because it's become a city. When I first went to Vrindavan, I think it was 1972, 73, you wouldn't even find a bicycle rickshaw there. I mean, you had to go some distance to find a bicycle rickshaw. What to speak of the cars, the motorized rickshaws, the high-rise buildings, and they actually had something called peacocks in Vrindavan when I was there. Now, of course, the peacocks had all gone to Govardhan. But the one thing they've retained in Vrindavan now is the monkeys. The monkeys have not left. They've stayed because they depend on people, and they like wearing glasses. That's why they take people's glasses, because they have bad eyesight. Right?
Yeah.
No, they traded glasses in for bananas, and then those glasses are sold back to the same people by the banana wallers or by the opticians in town. Anyway, the monkeys are actually businessmen, baniyas. Anyway, so getting back to the point. So after a while, Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupama decided to renounce this world. And they renounced, and as described, Rupa Goswami gave 50% of his income to the brahmanas and Vaishnavas, 25% to the relatives, and 25% he saved for personal emergencies. And of course, that 25% was later on used by Sanatana Goswami to bribe his way out of prison. So, then Rupa and Anupama traveled to Prayag, which is known as Allahabad. And actually, Srila Prabhupada had established a pharmacy in Prayag. And they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. And for 10 days, they got instruction regarding the absolute truth, that is, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And this time, when Rupa Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he composed this famous prayer that we recite every day. Actually, Srila Prabhupada instructed us to utilize this prayer when we're offering bhoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that, of course, is Namo Maha Padanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Amne Gora Tasenamaha. O my dear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are the most beneficent personality. Because you are distributing freely Krishna Prema Padayate, love of Krishna. So this is, of course, such a wonderful verse. And also, Namne Gora to say Namah, I left that part out. That you were actually golden, like the color of Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with this prayer, and he instructed Rupa Goswami and gave him his mission at this particular juncture of going to Vrindavan and establishing the holy places in Vrindavan, installing deities, renovating and making temples. So, let's see. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, and Anupama, sorry, didn't want to leave Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so they went with him as far as Benares, and they begged him to proceed to Puri, but Lord Chaitanya said, first go to Vrindavan, and later on meet me in Puri. And of course, Rupa Goswami did meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri later on. But Anupama, he actually passed away. Anupama was a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. Rupa Goswami is renowned for composing this very interesting prayer, the poem Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. Originally, Rupa Goswami wanted to have both of these dramas in one drama, because one drama deals with Krishna's pastimes out of Vrindavan, that is in Dwarka primarily, and the other drama deals with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Vidagdha Madhava is about the pastimes in Vrindavan, and Lalita Madhava is about the pastimes outside of Vrindavan, that is, in Dwarka. So, as he was traveling and thinking about this particular drama that he wanted to write, he went through a village named Satchabhamapura. In Satchabhamapura, he had a dream, and a beautiful lady, who was actually Satchabhama, appeared to him and said, there should be separate dramas. There should be one drama about me and one drama about Srimati Radharani. Now, of course, Satchabhama is a direct expansion of Srimati Radharani, as Rukmini is a direct expansion of Chandravali. And so Satchabhama gets her name. Bham means left-handed. So she's one of the left-handed wives of Krishna. That doesn't mean that she writes with her left hand. That means she's an unsubmissive wife of Krishna, one who argues with Krishna and gives Krishna more pleasure by arguing with Krishna. Because Krishna enjoys these tasty exchanges. So, Lord Chaitanya later on corroborated, in other words, he verified the instruction that Rupa Goswami had got from Satchabhama. When Rupa Goswami was in Jagannath Puri, he said, you shouldn't combine these two dramas, you should have them as separate dramas. So Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy read the early drafts of these works, and these works are considered to be the most important dramatic literatures in the Sanskrit language by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So very, very important literatures. We've done a narration of them, a reading of them, that's available on iskondesiretree.com. Not in Sanskrit, of course, but in English, the translation. It's very amazing poetry, and there's all sorts of word plays. I mean, it would be helpful if someone knew Sanskrit to read it in Sanskrit, because there's all these different word plays, double entendres, you know, words that mean three or four different things, and Krishna's teasing the gopis, and Krishna's teasing his wives in different ways. Very amazing literature. In fact, there is one study of some of Rupa Goswami's literatures, how he composed them in different ways. So I have a whole demonstration of this that I did one time. He composed some of his literatures and poems in different ways that you can read them the same backwards or forwards or sideways, or they make mridanga drums, or they make lotus flowers. Anyone's heard about this before?
I saw the diagrams.
Yeah, the diagrams. Where you take the different syllables of the words and you do them backwards. You know, like Rama instead of Ma-Ra. You know, Ma-Ra would be backwards, Rama. So it makes cartwheels, chakras, lotus flowers, and even mridanga drums. And you can read them forward, backwards, sideways. If you read the not only around the cartwheel, but if you read the spokes of the cartwheel both ways. I mean, it's amazing stuff. Rupa Goswami is so brilliant that, practically speaking, you can't find anyone as brilliant as Rupa Goswami, and of course, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, like that with their Vaishnava poetry. So, he went to Jagannath Puri to stay with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we mentioned before, for some time, temporarily. And while he was there, he composed verses, one particular verse, in which it was clear that he understood Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayer that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had recited during the Ratha Yatra. His prayer of separation, you know, I am the same Krishna and you are the same Radharani, and I wish to enjoy with you under the Vaitakshi tree in Vrindavan. So he understood that prayer basically more than anyone else except for Swarup Dambadara Goswami. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered this, because Rupa Goswami had written his explanation of this prayer on a palm leaf that he stuck on the roof of the cottage that he was staying in with Haridas Thakur, because Rupa Goswami never went to see Lord Jagannath. He wasn't allowed in the temple because it was considered he had lost his caste. Lord Chaitanya basically slapped Rupa Goswami. He said, how have you understood this? And Swarup Dambadara Goswami said, I can understand that he has gotten your mercy. So later on, Rupa Goswami went back to Vrindavan. And one of the first things he did in Vrindavan was he established the deity of Vrindadevi. So this Vrindadevi was originally located in Seva Kunj. I think those of you who have been in Vrindavan, you know where Seva Kunj is. Of course, that's the Kunj where you're not supposed to go in at night because supposedly Radha and Krishna dancing every night. That's what they say. One devotee went in and he hid under the bushes and he came out crazy and he lost his mind. Anyway, that's actually so. Even the monkeys leave at night. So that deity, of course, was taken away when the Muslims attacked. They took the deity to a temple that's called the Madan Mohan Temple. Not the one in Vrindavan, but there's a Madan Mohan Temple in Kamyavan. And it's interesting that when all the other deities were moved out of the Braj area, originally they were moved further west. First of all, they went to Radhakund, and then they were moved further west. They went to Jaipur to get away from the Muslim invasion. The only deity that they couldn't take out of Vrindavan when they tried to take the deity out of Vrindavan was this Vrindadevi deity. You've heard that story before? Oh, you didn't know that. They tried to move her, and she wouldn't move. And she's not a big deity. I mean, you know, three men could move her. And she just wouldn't budge because she wouldn't leave Vrindavan. So later on, Rupa Goswami, after he established himself in Vrindavan, was thinking, you know, I've been given this mission by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to establish a temple, but there's no deity. I mean, he heard about a deity named Govindadev. And this Govindadev deity was installed by Brajanava, who was Krishna's great-grandson. And he couldn't find the deity. So one day, a young boy came to him and said, there's a deity here. He's under this little hill. And every day, a cow drops her milk in a hole in that hill. And the deity is drinking. And Rupa Goswami thought, no, this is a weird story. He didn't believe it at first, but then the next day, he was watching and the cow came. And the milk poured from the cow into this hole. So he gathered all the villagers, and he discovered the deity of Govindadev. And of course, that deity now is in Jaipur, and the original deity is in Jaipur. And so the reason the deity was in the hill was that he has been buried by the villagers when the Muslims came before, because the Muslims wanted to attack many temples, smash the deities. In fact, some of the deities in other places that they smashed, they actually ground up into little bits and put into the road so people would step on them. Can you imagine that? What mentality? These Middle Eastern religions, I'm not criticizing the Muslim religion, but the Middle Eastern religions are what we call tribal religions. In other words, tribal means our tribe is the best. You know, that's what tribal means. You have different tribes. I mean, look at America. You have all these different Indian tribes, American Indian tribes, and they attacked each other. That's tribal. Our family's the best. Our tribe is the best. Our religion is the best. Everybody else is a demon. We should kill them. So the Middle Eastern religions, the three of them, Christianity, Muslim religion, and Judaism, are extremely tribal religions, exclusive. Whereas we understand that, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if anyone is worshipping God in any religion, even if their conception is just simply pantheistic, they're worshipping the same God as us in a different way, maybe not as a full understanding, but we should appreciate. You know, we can go into a Christian church and appreciate what they're doing. So that means that we are a philosophical religion, not a tribal religion. Tribal is just like one particular culture. And even we find within the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews, they broke up into different branches and they fight with each other and they kill each other. That's really tribal. It's like the football teams, you know, that people put on, you know, isn't it? At least in America, like in the universities, people at different universities put on the costumes of the football team, they put on makeup to make themselves look like whatever stupid thing they want to do. So that same thing is done in religion. Anyway, so getting back to the point. So the deity was originally on the hill because the Muslims attacked. So the deity had a Govinda Dev would arrange for his temple to be built under the patronage of the famed Emperor Akbar. You know, Akbar was just very much interested in bringing all the different religions together. Later on, you know, Akbar's grandson, famous Aurangzeb, had a problem. He tried to destroy the temple. And as he was trying to destroy the temple, the reason he was trying to destroy the temple is because it was so high that you could see the ghee lamps from Agra where he was, and he got so upset. And so he sent his men to destroy the temple. As they were destroying the temple, cutting down the upper stories of the temple first, there was practically an earthquake, the ground started to shake, and they got so scared they ran away. So we have some of the temple left today. So, let's see. We talked about the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lita Madhava. Lita Madhava deals with actually more separation, because you have Krishna leaving Vrindavan. It's interesting, it's described that Kavi Karnapur, who wrote the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, he stops his work where Krishna leaves Vrindavan. You know, before Krishna leaves Vrindavan, because he can't stand the mood of Radha being separated from Krishna, Krishna leaving Vrindavan. Whereas Rupa Goswami, he goes into further depth in terms of the Vipralamba Seva, the relationship between Radha and Krishna in separation. And so basically the Lalita Madhava deals with that, Radha and Krishna in separation, in terms of Radharani's and expansion in Dwarka, who is known as Satyabhama, which is, it's really worked, it's a really interesting drama. I mean, I advise you to listen to it. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Srila Rupa Goswami compiled two important dramas named the Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, from which one can understand all the mellows derive from the pastimes of Lord Krishna. That's interesting. That's an absolute statement. One can understand all the mellows. That means, mellows means rus. Rus means taste, mellow. The word in English is, it's not a very common word if you say mellow to someone in English. It basically means he's real calm. You know, it doesn't have the same meaning that Prabhupada is using here. That's not a common meaning in the word mellow. So, he's a very mellow person. I mean, a very calm person, a kind person. But here it means like taste. Also, important work, as I mentioned before, is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjala Nilamani, which you mentioned before, and we also mentioned that Rupa Goswami is an incarnation of Rupa Manjari. And just we'll finish with one interesting story. Oh yeah, one interesting story about Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Once upon a time, Rupa Goswami wanted to offer something to his brother, Sanatana Goswami. He wanted to offer kheer, but he didn't have any ingredients to prepare that kheer with. So this happened in a place named Terukadamba, which is a very beautiful place. Anyone's been to Terukadamba? Very, very beautiful, like there's bushes on the top, and it's just such a sweet place. We're going to take devotees there this year. None of you here, but you know, devotees. This is Nugaloka. So, anyway, so he wanted to prepare kheer, and what he was thinking, I don't have any ingredients. And then a beautiful young girl came, and she offered him the ingredients, prepare some nice kheer, and offer it to Uditi. So he did that. And then when Sanatana Goswami came, he gave it to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was overcome with symptoms of ecstasy when he was drinking this kheer. And he was thinking, where do these ingredients come from? Because Rupa Goswami doesn't have a cow, you know, he doesn't have any of these ingredients. And Rupa Goswami said, I got them from a young girl. And Sanatana Goswami said, what does she look like? And then Rupa Goswami proceeded to describe what she looked like, and Sanatana Goswami got really upset with Rupa Goswami, because Sanatana Goswami was considered to be the guru, not initiating guru, but Shiksha guru, because he was the older brother, that's the etiquette, of Rupa Goswami. And he chastised Rupa Goswami and said, you have taken service directly from Srimati Radharani. We are supposed to give service, not take service. This is very, very sinful. So Sanatana Goswami tells Rupa Goswami never to accept these gifts. And Rupa Goswami's samadhi is right in the middle of the Radha Damodara temple. And that's where Srila Prabhupada, of course, Radha Damodara temple was established by Srila Jiva Goswami. But the Goswamis of Vrindavan in the Radha Damodara temple would meet regularly. There's a place right between the two portions of the Radha Damodara temple, as you do the parikrama. Has anyone been there? No. Where the Goswamis would eat prasadam and discuss Vaishnava literatures together. So, Srila Prabhupada gave his famous nectar devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, lectures and discussions right in the courtyard of the Radha Damodara temple. And the Radha Damodara temple is Srila Prabhupada's eternal residence. To this day, the devotees are caring for Prabhupada's residency in the Radha Damodara temple. Very, very important. And of course, there was some legal issue, I don't know if it's still going on, that who was in charge, you know, which disciples of Prabhupada were in charge. But in any case, there's regular puja going on at the Radha Damodara temple for Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, cooking, puja in Srila Prabhupada's rooms. And Srila Prabhupada would sit in his writing room and be able to look at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami right from his room. derive inspiration. And there's some stories where Prabhupada actually saw Rupa Goswami. I mean, there's some devotees who tell that story. And Rupa Goswami ordered him to write literatures and go to the Western world from that Radhanamadara temple. So our connection with Rupa Goswami is very important. Very, very important personality. So, any questions? We have about 10 seconds left. No? No. You lost your opportunity. Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Turn this off. Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radhika Lokananda, Radhika Lokananda ki jai.